content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. But this program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you are not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we'll be taking a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the months of January and February 2018 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. The first book we'll take a look at today is one from a very popular author. He is on the top 10 list every single month. It's Murder Games by James Patterson and Howard Ruffin. Here's the plot. A serial killer is loose on the streets of Manhattan. His victims appear to be total strangers. The only clue that unites the crimes is the playing card left behind at each scene that hints at the next target. Now, the killer, known in the tabloids as the Dealer, is baiting cops into a deadly and scandalous guessing game that has the city increasingly on edge. Elizabeth Needham, the gorgeous, tenacious cop in charge of the case, turns to an unlikely ally, Dylan Reinhardt, a handsome and brilliant professor whose book turned up in connection with the murders. As the tabloid frenzy over the Dealer reaches a fever pitch, Dylan and Elizabeth must connect the clues to discover what the victims have in common before the Dealer runs through his entire deck. And as this promo says, the next hand he deals may be your last. Well, that sounds like a good one. Murder Games by James Patterson and Howard Ruffin. The next book on our list for this month is Come Sundown by Nora Roberts. Here's the plot for this one. In the winter of 1992, 21-year-old Alice Bodine, discouraged and down on her luck, is making her way home along a deserted country road. Now, it's been 3 years since she last saw her family, and she's not sure they will welcome her back home. Life in Hollywood wasn't at all what she thought it would be. Jobs were practically non-existent, the people were phony, and she's more than ready to return to her family home in western Montana. She hitches a ride from a nice-looking middle-aged man in a pickup truck, unaware of just how much this one action will change her life and the lives of her family members. The story then jumps forward 25 years. The reader is introduced to Bodine Longbow, the manager of her family's upscale resort, and her parents and brothers who run the accompanying ranch. Bo is smart, loyal, and self-reliant, all traits I love in a heroine. Colin Skinner, her childhood crush, has recently returned from some time spent working in Hollywood and is now an employee of the Bodine Resort. Bo's pretty sure her romantic interest in Cal faded years ago, so she's more than a little taken aback when she realizes that she's still attracted to him. But Bo is nothing if not professional, so he pushes her feelings to the back burner as she and Cal are forced into close proximity to one another. Cal hasn't had an easy life. His father gambled away his birthright when Cal was a teenager and committed suicide shortly afterwards. Cal left home after graduating high school, determined to make his own way in the world and prove to himself once and for all that he's not the loser his father was. After experiencing some success in Hollywood, Cal returns home and is pleased to be offered a position at the Bodine Resort. He grew up alongside the Longbow children and considers them more his family than his own mother and sister. He's thought of Bo fondly over the years, but he's pretty shocked to feel a strong sexual pull toward her. I love the easy flirtation between Cal and Bo in the early portions of this book. It's obvious each cares very deeply for the other, but they're not fully certain where a relationship might lead them. Still, they love spending time together, both on and off the clock. Cal respects Bo's authority as his boss and doesn't try to undermine her, something I really appreciated. I'm pretty tired of overly arrogant heroes who need to prove their superiority to the women they claim to love. It was refreshing to read about a relationship between people who are truly comfortable viewing one another as equals. Things take a sinister turn when two women are found dead not far from the Bodine property, and it becomes obvious that a serial killer is loose in the Montana countryside. A police deputy with a long-held grudge casts suspicion Cal's way, but Bo and her family remain steadfastly loyal to him. I really love the way the characters pull together here, rather than allowing mistrust to get in the way of what they know is right. And then a link is found to Alice's disappearance, plunging the family into a web of darkness that will threaten everything they hold dear. Most of the story takes place in the present, but flashbacks offer some insight into Alice's plight. Eventually, the two storylines merge, and this is where the novel really starts to shine. This is a very popular author, Nora Roberts, and that's a book called Come Sundown. Now let's talk about a book by Stuart Woods. This is one that is called Indecent Exposure. And this action-packed adventure from the number one New York Times best-selling author Stuart Woods, Stone Barrington, whom we hear about a lot on this program, learns that privacy is hard to come by when you are one of the rich and mighty. As an eligible bachelor, man about town, and mover in the highest social echelons, of course, Stone Barrington has always been the subject of interest and gossip. But when he's unwittingly thrust into the limelight, he finds himself scrambling to take cover. Before too long, Stone's fending off pesky nuances left and right, and making personal arrangements so surreptitiously it would take a covert operative to unearth them. Unfortunately, Stone soon discovers that these efforts only increase the persistence of the most troublesome pests, and when he runs afoul of a particularly tenacious lady, he'll be struggling to protect not just his reputation, but his life. That's another good one from Stuart Woods, and this one is entitled Indecent Exposure. The next book on our list for this month is The Duchess by Danielle Steele. The incomparable Danielle Steele breaks some new ground here as she takes us to the 19th century England, where a high-born young woman is forced out into the world and begins a journey of survival, sensuality, and long-sought justice. Angelique Latham has grown up at magnificent Belgrave Castle under the loving tutelage of her father, the Duke of Westerfield, after the death of her aristocratic French mother. At age 18, she is her father's closest, most trusted child, schooled in managing their grand estate. But when he dies, her half-brothers brutally turn her out, denying her very existence. Angelique has a keen mind, remarkable beauty, and an envelope of money her father pressed upon her. To survive, she will need all her resources and one bold stroke of fortune. Unable to secure employment without references or connections, Angelique desperately makes her way to Paris, where she rescues a young woman fleeing an abusive madam and suddenly sees a possibility. Open an elegant house of pleasure that will protect its women and serve only the best clients. With her upper-class breeding, her impeccable style, and her father's bequest, Angelique creates Le Boudoir, soon a sensational establishment where powerful men, secret desires, and beautiful, sophisticated women all come together. But living on the edge of scandal, can she ever make a life of her own or regain her rightful place in the world? From England to Paris to New York, Danielle Steele captures an age of upheaval and the struggles of women in a male-ruled society, and paints a captivating portrait of a woman in unquenchable spirit who, in houses great or humble, is every ounce a duchess. And that's the name of that book. That sounds like quite a good one. The Duchess by Danielle Steele. Now here's a book by novelist Ron Hansen, and this is called The Kid, a novel. A marvelous journey into both history and imagination, a perfectly compelling and fast-paced story from Ron Hansen about an iconic American criminal of the Old West, legendary outlaw Billy the Kid. And that was a comment from the San Francisco Chronicle about this book by Ron Hansen. Born Henry McCarty, Billy the Kid was a diminutive, charming, blonde-haired young man who, growing up in New York, Kansas, and later in New Mexico, demonstrated a precocious dexterity at firing six-shooters with either hand, a skill that both got him into and out of trouble, and that turned him into an American legend of the Old West. He was smart, well-spoken, attractive to both white and Mexican women, a good dancer, and a man with a nose for money, horses, and, of course, trouble. His spree of crimes and murders has been immortalized in dime westerns, novels, and in movies. This is called The Kid, a novel, and it's written by author Ron Hansen. Now here's a book that was very popular. It was on the top 10 list in the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped during the month of February, although it does have Christmas in the title, but it's a popular one. It's called Christmas Morning by Margaret Maron, and that morning is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, morning. It's Christmas in rural North Carolina's Culleton County. Sheriff's Deputy Dwight Bryant and his wife, Judge Deborah Knott, have propped his traditional pine tree in the living room. Christmas lights have been hung. Aunt Zell's famous fruitcake has arrived. Deborah can't wait to celebrate with Dwight, her stepson Cal, and all of her colorful relatives. Then, a tragic car wreck casts a dark cloud over the revelry. A beautiful young cheerleader dies in the crash, and her community is devastated. But Dwight soon learns that the girl's death wasn't a simple accident, and more lives may be lost before Christmas Eve unless Deborah and Dwight find the killer or killers. So, as I say, it has Christmas in the title, but it's definitely a murder mystery, and it sounds like a good one. It's called Christmas Morning by Margaret Maron. Now we're back to that familiar author, Stuart Woods. He seems to have a couple of books on the list almost every month. And this particular book that we're going to read about right now is called Fast and Loose by Stuart Woods. In this explosive thriller from number one New York Times bestselling author Stuart Woods, Stone Barrington's newest foe has a short fuse and it's just been lit. Here's the plot. Stone Barrington is enjoying a boating excursion off the Maine coast when a chance encounter leaves him somewhat the worse for wear. always able to find the silver lining in even the unhappiest circumstances. Stone is pleased to discover that the authors of his misfortune are, in fact, members of a prestigious family who present a unique business opportunity and who require a man of Stone's skills to overcome a sticky situation of their own. The acquaintance is fortuitous indeed, for as it turns out, Stone and his new friends have an enemy in common. He's the sort of man who prefers force to finesse, and who regards any professional defeat as a personal and intolerable insult. And when Stone's sly cunning collides with his adversary's hair-trigger temper, the results are sure to be explosive. That's a book called Fast and Loose by the popular author Stuart Woods. Now, here's a novel by Karen Kingsbury. It's called Love Story, and this is from the number one New York Times best-selling author. Kingsbury comes. It's a new book featuring everyone's favorite family, the Baxters, which tells the story of how John and Elizabeth first fell in love. From the day they met, John and Elizabeth were destined to fall in love. Their whirlwind romance started when they were young college students and lasted nearly 30 years until Elizabeth died of cancer. So when John Baxter is asked to relive his long-ago story, love story that is, with Elizabeth for his grandson Cole's Heritage Project, he's not sure he can do it. The sadness might simply be too great, but he agrees and allows his heart and soul to go places they haven't gone in decades. Back to the breathless first moments, but also to the secret heartbreak that brought John and Elizabeth together. At the same time, Baxter family friend Cody Coleman is working through the breakup of his complicated relationship with Andy Ellison. He is determined to move on when a chance sighting changes his plans and heart. Can Cody convince Andy to give their love another try, or is it time for them to say goodbye for good? As school comes to an end, Cole presents his report on the love story between his grandparents, John and Elizabeth Baxter. It is a tale that touches the hearts of the entire family, and one that causes Cole to better understand his own beginning. Whether you're meeting the Baxter family for the first time or finding them all over again, Love Story will stir your heart and remind you of the generational impact of love and the eternal bond of family. Sounds like a lovely story. It's called Love Story, and it's a novel by Karen Kingsbury. Now on Heard Any Good Books Lately, I'm going to feature a very special book, I think, that is available from the Library for the Blind in both large print and also in talking book format in the digital reader there. It's a book called Still Alice by Lisa Genova. In this powerful debut novel, Alice Howland is a 50-year-old cognitive professor at Harvard and a world-renowned linguistics expert. One day, while out jogging, she finds herself lost in Harvard Square, unable to find her way home, though she is just a mile from her house on a route that she has traveled every single day. This is just one of the memory disturbances that she has noted she is having on an ongoing basis. Soon she can tell that these moments, which are coming with increased frequency, are not ordinary, and they are disturbing. Trying to figure out what is going on, Alice does a quick Google search for menopause symptoms and quickly sees that scattered thinking and memory lapses may be caused by a lack of estrogen. She notes to schedule a doctor's appointment and shuts down the computer, thinking she has this solved, with some relief that there can be a quick fix. Alice is used to confronting problems just like this. Identify the problem, find the solution. But somehow it feels like this might be something a bit more. While she muddles on trying to keep her life on course, the fractures and fissures in her memory become more real. In one chapter, she stands before her class to give the lecture she just spent 45 minutes preparing for, and realizes she cannot recall the topic she has prepped to deliver. An eager student answers her question about the subject from the syllabus, and she proceeds with the lecture. Thinking that the day is on course, she gets home and is relaxing when her husband comes in and asks, "Aren't you supposed to be in Chicago?" She had completely forgotten a business trip. Though the idea frightens her, she knows this issue of her memory is far deeper than menopause and asks her gynecologist for a reference to a neurologist. After appointments and tests, she comes to realize that the diagnosis is far more dire than she thought, and it will not be cured with a few hormone pills. She has early onset Alzheimer's disease. She is told she needs to bring someone to her appointments, lest she not capture all the details of what is being shared with her. She also is told that she may not be the best judge of her own limitations, and that someone other than her should fill out the paperwork on the state of her mind. Her world starts spiraling around her. Struggling with these ideas, Alice fights these thoughts, not wanting to accept that she is losing control of her life. She thinks of filling in the paperwork on her own and shows up at meetings alone as her doctor chastises her for this. Suddenly, in a moment that she has not planned, her story tumbles out as she tells her husband, John, what has been going on. He is stunned for a moment and then recalls a party where it was clear she was not connecting on what was going on. He knows in a moment that life has changed with two words, Alzheimer's disease, but also recognizes, like a smack to the head, that the world shifted a while back, but he just chose to ignore it. The disease progresses swiftly, leaving Alice and her family struggling with an unraveling of the world that they have come to know. Where she was the anchor who held the family secure, she now must lean on her husband and three children to keep her safe. They need to pull the threads of her life together. They need to know where to find her when she does not even know she has become lost. In due course, she must give up her work, which is closure on a particular thing she loves, a piece of the world that defines her. At the same time, John is offered opportunities that he feels he must take, which again remind her what she is losing. Frustrations build, and the tensions that were bubbling beneath the surface rise quickly. The emotions that swirl through these pages will tug at readers as they identify with Alice and her struggles. For Alice, the simplest pleasures, like jogging and cooking, become chores that need assistance. For a woman who valued her independence, her dependence now is palpable. Alice is bright enough to know that the end here is not going to be pretty, but she fights to keep control of her world, grappling for control as long as she can. In what becomes a ritual for her, she answers five simple questions on her BlackBerry each day. In answering these questions, she reassures herself that things are still status quo. But as the reader watches, a word changes in her standard simple replies, followed by the phrasing, and then the correct answer becomes completely muddled. While she feels the answers are right, we see she is losing her grasp. When the day finally dawns that she cannot even understand the questions, let alone the answers, Alice moves to the next step that she has noted on her BlackBerry, one that she wrote herself directions for back when things just had started to dim. She goes to her computer and finds the file called Butterfly and follows the instructions there. Still, Alice has an authentic voice and a pitch-perfect tone, even as Alice loses control of her own words. Lisa Genova, the author, is a trained neuroscientist who understands the science behind Alzheimer's from a clinical point of view, but she also comprehends the personal tragedy that accompanies one losing a loved one who is standing beside them as her grandmother suffered through Alzheimer's. Told through Alice's lens, the book has a personal feeling to it that could not have happened as well in third person. I know what Alzheimer's is, but this story gave me a lot more insight into exactly what it feels like. While I have a better understanding of friends who are coping with their parents' travails with the disease, reading Alice's story, where the disease struck someone so young, made me want to live life and enjoy it with renewed gusto, since I saw just how fragile the line between whole and broken can be. In case you can't figure this out, still Alice grabbed me, the reviewer says, from this first page. I kept reading it, knowing I was not going to get much done until I finished it. I kept saying, one more page, one more chapter, until the book was completed. A friend was traveling with me a few months ago and showed up late to cocktails. She walked in apologizing and saying, I just cannot put down the book I was reading. When I asked what it was, she told me it was Still Alice. We started talking about it since we both had the same reaction, and I have thought of this story over and over these past months. There's something else to note about this book, too. It's being simultaneously released in hardcover and trade paperback, a very smart move by the publisher, ensuring the opportunity to get this title into as many readers' hands as possible, no matter what format you prefer. Both versions have a reader's guide and an interview with Genova that gives terrific background to the book. Still Alice will prompt conversation. It's a perfect club book for book clubs. I dare you to finish this novel and not turn to someone to talk about it. And this review, by the way, was written by Carol Fitzgerald back in 2011. This is not a new book. It's been around for a long time, but it's very popular, and I think you might enjoy it. It's called Still Alice by Lisa Genova. And we have time for one more book on this edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. Another Stuart Woods book. This one is called Dishonorable Intentions. Stone Barrington gains an adversary that he can't seem to shake in this electrifying adventure from the author Stuart Woods. Stone Barrington's latest lady friend is full of surprises, both good and ill. A sensual woman with unexpected desires, Stone finds her revelations in the boudoir extremely agreeable. But on the other hand, she also has some unfinished business with a temperamental man who believes that Stone is an intolerable obstacle in the way of his goals. In a cat-and-mouse game that trails from sun-drenched Bel Air to a peaceful European estate and gorgeous Santa Fe, Stone and his friend remain just one step ahead of their opponent. But their pursuer is not a man who can stand to be thwarted, and tensions are mounting and may soon reach the boiling point. It's called Dishonorable Intentions by Stuart Woods. And that's just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind and call toll-free 1-888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this program on a regular basis here on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for people who are blind and visually impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time.